Do you ever get angry at your kids? If you don't, you're different than the rest of us. Because parents do get irritated, annoyed, frustrated, and really mad sometimes at their children. Why does this happen? Partly it's because of the kids. They annoy us. They don't listen. They don't cooperate. It's not just a matter of tell them this and off they go. They argue, they delay, they debate, they get on our nerves. But that's not the full reason, because some of us get angry more often than others, or we have a worse case of the anger than others, and this really depends a lot on things such as our inborn personality, the genes that we were given, because some of us are hotheads by nature. And many of those people actually come from families of hotheads that not only have the genes for snapping quickly, but also have the parental model for the same kind of behavior. And you put those two things together, genes plus the model, and woo, we've got a sure recipe for frequently finding ourselves feeling very angry and irritated and upset in the tasks of parenting. Even if we don't have such an intense case of genes, the model alone of living with parents who yelled at us, who showed angry faces, who lacked patience, that model can program our own brains when we're growing up and cause us to react in an angry, irritated way just on automatic pilot because we've been programmed that way. Our own stress level determines how much patience we're going to have at a given moment. So if things are a little bit tense at work, or if we're having a difficult day with our spouse, or if we're having a difficult day with our parents or with our neighbors or whatever, we're just a lot of pressures, maybe too much to do, too little time to do it in, then of course we're going to have less patience for our kids. So stress level makes a difference. Similarly, our energy level makes a difference. Did we have any rest recently? A lot of us are dealing with babies who wake up all night long, and then we're dealing with toddlers and school-age children in the daytime. And we're tired, so sleep-deprived. It's hard to be patient under those circumstances. And we may find ourselves losing it, feeling irritated and angry much more than we'd like to. Parental helplessness is another reason why we get angry. When we just don't know what to do, our child has done something outrageous, so the principal is calling home, notes are coming home from the teachers, or you know, the neighbors are complaining, and something's going on, and we can't stop it from happening. Even though we've asked the child to improve his behavior, we've spoken to him, we've lectured him, we've punished him, we've done everything. And when we find that we've run out of tricks, almost all of us get very angry. Our frustration level soars through the ceiling. We just can't come up with a solution, and we get mad instead. So these are some of the reasons why most of us do find ourselves getting angry. Stress, exhaustion, helplessness, our genetic makeup, the modeling that we received at home, and the fact that we don't always examine the wiring of our brains and why we do or feel the things we do and feel, and then the provocation of the children themselves, all of this goes to causing us to feel angry, I would say frequently, in parenting. It's not an uncommon emotion. So we'll just say that anger is fine. It's an emotion. Like all feelings, it just is. What anger is not is a parenting tool. Anger is a feeling. It is not a teaching tool. Anger is an emotion. It is not a parenting instrument. So if we can just separate out our feelings from our other parenting tools, we'll be fine. Those of us who use anger as a parenting tool will predictably cause short-term and long-term effects in our kids. We may not intend to do this, but this is what's going to happen. The more we use anger as a parenting tool, the more short-term problems our children will have. For example, in the short run, their behavior will actually be worse the more often we use an angry voice, an angry look, or angry words. And so for some of us, those are loud and kind of ugly-looking things, and for others of us, our anger is cold and withdrawn. It doesn't matter what the style is. As long as we use that style frequently, a child's behavior will be worse in the short run. His physical health will be worse in the short run the more we use anger as a parenting tool. The child will have more colds, more headaches, more stomach aches. All of his areas of vulnerability will be triggered. The more nervous habits the child will have, the more we use anger as a parenting tool. So if he's a thumb sucker, a bed wetter, a hair twirler, an eye blinker, whatever he is, he'll do that more the more frequently we find ourselves using anger as a parenting tool. The child's academic performance can suffer in the short run the more we use anger as a parenting tool. The child's social performance can suffer. He may have more trouble with his friends or making friends or behaving nicely with his friends the more often we use anger as a parenting tool. So in every area of his little life, he will not be thriving the more we use anger as a parenting tool, but that's just the short-run consequences. In the long run, there are serious consequences of using anger frequently during the 2 decades that we raise a child. The first 10 years and the second 10 years, if we find ourselves using anger frequently, then our children are more likely to suffer from mental health disorders such as increased depression or mood disorders, increased trouble with anxiety. If they have that in their genes, it will surface more if we've used anger more frequently. More personality disorders. Children who come from angry homes often have anger problems themselves and other personality disorders. They will have more relationship difficulties with their own spouses and with their own children. They may have difficulties at work, more difficulties being productive. The more that anger has been used in their lives while they were growing up for those 2 years, the more adjustment difficulties of every kind can be expected in adulthood, all the way up to criminal behavior, depending on how much anger, what kind of anger, and what kind of cultural background the child is living in. Long-term anger used just on a regular basis to get the kid out the door, to get him in the door and into bed and to do his homework, to do all those things. Long-term use of anger is toxic. When we use that with our children, we may lose our children. There are many adults who have no relationship with their grown children because once those kids get out of the house, they don't want to come back. When we use anger that intensely, we may never see our grandchildren because they are in the custody of our children who don't want to see us. Many people have inadvertently lost relationships with their children by putting too much effort in a way into raising them, using desperate measures of anger too often. So the consequences are very serious. In the short run and in the long run, anger cannot be used in family relationships as a communication tool. It's a feeling we all have. We're all going to be angry because we're all human. But we cannot use anger to communicate with our family members. It's an energy that is destructive. Well, what are we going to do then? Because we feel the anger, but we can't communicate the anger without causing harm. Now, sometimes, just keep this in mind also, when we express anger, sometimes we feel better because we let a little bit of tension off by screaming, yelling, stamping our feet, or slamming a door. While we did that, however, we poisoned our children, perhaps our spouse. We felt better, but we ruined their lives. So it's not okay to help ourselves feel a little bit better that way. We have to find other ways to release our stress and our frustration and our upset. We cannot just dump it onto our children without, in the end, not only hurting them, but hurting ourselves as we destroy the relationships with the ones we love the most. And you know, an interesting sort of finale to the negative consequences of anger is that it actually destroys our parenting power. Because when we use anger a lot with kids, they just don't like us that much. And the more a child likes you, the more they care to please you, to try and be like you, they want to listen to you more, they want to cooperate more, the behavior with you will be much better. And the less they like you, the less all of that is true. The less they want to please you, the less they'll cooperate with you. They won't even cooperate with your punishments. The less they like you, the less they want to accept anything that you have to offer them in terms of your wisdom, your teaching, your values. None of it will get across because they don't identify with you. The more you use anger, the more you destroy your ability to educate and raise your child. So let's get back to it. What are we going to do? Because we do feel anger. I'm going to give you a bunch of techniques, and you can use any and all of them to help you manage the feelings of anger that you feel as a parent so that you can concentrate on using effective parenting tools, which we'll look at later, but right now we want to get our anger out of the way. Parenting tools help replace parental helplessness, which was one of the causes of anger that we mentioned earlier. Therefore, taking a parenting course, reading a parenting book, joining parenting online forums and participating with your questions, all of this can help you to know what to do in a situation so you won't feel helpless with your children. You don't want to feel helpless because feelings of helplessness lead to feelings of anger. Therefore, you want to try and put yourself in a position where you can make a guess, you know, at what you should do, at least try something, and not feel like you have your hands tied behind your back. Therefore, study parenting. We can't know everything just from being a child, being raised in our own house. We need more options than that. Take the time, read the books, go online, read every article you can find on parenting online, and expand your horizons. Ask those questions in the forums. Get other people to tell you what they did. Learn and be a professional parent, because this will reduce your anger. That's number one. Number two, manage your stress. This is your responsibility. Now, some people would say, well, you know, I have to be stressed because I have a stressful job. Or I have to be stressed because I live with such a stressful spouse. Or I have to be stressed because I have such stressful children. In other words, they blame their stress on everything and everyone around them. And they don't take responsibility for reducing their own stress. It's not going to be good enough to blame all these people for why we feel upset, because that just leaves us with feelings of upset that we have to do something with. All of us are challenged by relationships. You're not exempt, and I'm not exempt, and nobody's exempt. The people in our lives are always going to be provocative to us. That's part of the human condition. So let's just say that that's normal. How can we help reduce our stress? Let's pull ourselves back from the edge. Instead of living on the edge, where the next person's bad behavior or next person's bad comment throws us over the edge and we blow up, let's live way back from the edge by giving ourselves an opportunity to get a little bit more sleep, even if that means hiring a daytime babysitter so that we can get that rest. We're going to need a better quality of food and vitamins so that our immune system can be stronger, that our body can be stronger. We're going to need a lot more fun, if that means going out on a date with our spouse or going out with our friends or doing some activity that we just enjoy doing on our own. We need a certain amount of fun and even laughter each day in order to regulate our stress hormones. We need some downtime, some relaxation time. People today push so much to do, never stopping. And there's a danger of walking ourselves right into an angry state by living like that. We need fun. We need downtime. We need some positive social interaction with people. If we need to join a group to get that, even if we get it just online, we need to have some interaction with other human beings in order to keep our stress levels down. We want to create a life that has balance in it, that has some interesting activities for our brain, that we're doing things that are stimulating, whether that's reading or working in our profession. We want to do things that are entertaining and relaxing and upbeat, and perhaps keep away from the things that are draining, like reading the daily newspaper. Some people seem to enjoy that, but for a lot of people, they find it stressful to hear about all the disasters going on in the world. So some people can avoid listening to the news in order to lower their stress. Take care of yourself, because that's your job first and foremost, before anybody else is going to do anything for you. That's really your task. So watch yourself like a mother would, you know, watch her little baby, to take care and make sure that you are stress reduced. Counseling, professional counseling and support, either from coaching or counseling or even from psychotherapy, more intense work, all of that can reduce our stress tremendously. And if we're having an anger problem at home, it can give us more professional tools for managing our emotions, for healing our emotions, for coming up with behavior strategies. So professional counseling is something that we may want to take care of, may want to access if we find that we're having a lot of anger or frustration at home. We could also read books specifically written about anger management, again, to get more ideas, more specific strategies. Sometimes you'll find that there are courses offered. Again, a lot of information on the internet. So we want to equip ourselves with tools for how to handle feelings as they arise. Bottom line, we want to make a rule that we do not express our anger. That is, we feel our anger, we soothe and calm our anger, but we do not express it in that angry way to our family members and particularly to our children. So if it accidentally happens, we can set up a discipline system for ourselves. We can actually work either with rewards or with punishments, such that the same way we would do it for kids, so that if we find ourselves yelling, we can give ourselves a negative consequence. Or if we make it through a morning without yelling, we give ourselves a point, and when we get 3 or 4 points, we get a trip to Hawaii or some other nice reward. or some more of a cost-effective reward system where, you know, if you make it through the morning, you get a point, and make it through the evening or the afternoon after school hours, you get a point, and then through the evening and bedtime hours, you get a point. And so that you could have 3 points a day. And when you've earned, let's say a week would be 21 points, except on the weekend you might arrange for a few more, so let's say 25 points could be a perfect week. When you might give yourself a reward if you earned at least 20 points of your possible 25, and at the end of that week. And then the next week you can make your goal that you must have 22 points in order to get your reward, and the reward should be a little bit bigger than it was the first week. And on the third week, you could make the rule that you have to have 24 of the 25 points in order to get your reward, then the reward should be even better. And on the fourth week, you could have the condition that you must have all 25 points in order to get your reward, and then the reward would be even bigger. And then you can go the following week by requiring 2 days in a row to get your point, or to get the reward, You know, you can, and so what you see I'm doing here is just making the task a little bit more challenging each time, and the reward a little bit bigger. And perhaps after 2 months, you give yourself the grand prize reward, which is something that you've always dreamed of, but you've just deprived yourself of it, didn't feel you deserved it. But now that you've eradicated anger from your family communication tools, you definitely do deserve that thing that you've always wanted, and that can be your grand prize. Now, that's the reward way. The punishment way, which you may put in after you've received your grand prize, in case you ever have any slip-ups, would be if you raise your voice, you give yourself an assignment. Perhaps you're going to write out a page listing all the negative consequences of anger, what harm you're doing yourself and your family, your children. Or perhaps you'll do 50 push-ups for every time that you shout, or 20 push-ups, depending on how good of your shape you're in. You can lose a lot of weight this way while you also, or inches, whatever it is, and become stronger while you become more calm and pleasant to deal with. Or some people give money to charity. You know, that every time they yell, that's going to cost them $100 to the cancer fund or something. So you can combine the rewards and punishments strategies, or pick one or the other and see how effective it is for you. But if you're serious about getting rid of raising your voice or using an angry face or using bad words, then you will find that rewards and punishments are very effective at helping you to attain your goal in a very real way. There are also natural therapies that can help reduce the tendency to be explosive or angry or upset. Bach flower therapy is something we might talk about later, but it's specifically good for people who are, well, for anything really, but if you want to use it for your tendency to be impatient, or your tendency to need things to go your way, or go way your way quickly, or your tendency to be, you know, upset and hurt and helpless and all that stuff, Bach flower, that's B-A-C-H, is something that you could investigate. There are Bach flower practitioners all over the place, and again, online, lots of information. And if necessary, real medications, such as psychotropic medications, the SSRIs, are very powerful at reducing the tendency to be angry. And for people for whom this is a serious problem in the family, psychotropic medications will be a healing for the entire family, so that it allows a child to grow up normally without being victimized by a parent's constant outburst. So the parents, you know, irritability and mood disorders go together. And even if you're not feeling depressed, if you find that you're having trouble controlling your rage, you may find that your medical doctor or your mental health professional can help you by prescribing psychotropic medications to really eradicate that problem once and for all. So you see, there are many things you can do if you want to make your home anger-free as far as the parents are concerned. The children, we're going to teach them how to manage their anger as well. But for now, you know, you need to take responsibility just on your side for making sure that you do not use anger as a parenting tool. And I said, you know, we will feel angry, but we want to calm ourselves down, turn off that anger in the moment, and help ourselves in a general way by avoiding anger through all the techniques we just talked about. Now, in the moment that we feel anger and we feel like we're going to open our mouths and scream, we can just sit ourselves down. Never stand up when you're angry. Just sit down, because it lowers the adrenaline. And start breathing deeply, just like Grandma said, 10 breaths in and 10 breaths out, so slowly in and out, so that you can turn off the adrenaline. And when you turn off the adrenaline, the anger will calm down immediately. So oxygen does that. If you breathe in deeply and breathe out slowly, you will have enough oxygen to turn on the sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system and turn off the anger. So we're sitting down, we're breathing slowly, and we're sending some calming message to our own brains. We're saying something like, I can take care of this later. It's not an emergency. I can think of what I need to do about this situation and talk it over with other people. I don't have to solve it right now. And one of the reasons we want to take that approach is because Our anger feels like an emergency response in our body, like something terrible is happening right now. I have to solve it right this minute. I have to open my mouth, and who cares what comes out because it's such a terrible emergency. Whereas, unless your child is standing in traffic, which is rather rare, there are very few such emergencies throughout the 20 years of parenting. Surely, once in a blue moon, a child is doing something so dangerous that you must scream to stop the child from doing it. But that is so rare. That is not the reason why we find ourselves screaming most of the time. So let's take the emergency out of it. We do have 20 years to raise a child. We don't have to figure out right this moment what's going wrong. So we can just tell ourselves while we're breathing slowly and we're trying to oxygenate our system there and while we're sitting down, we can just tell ourselves that we have time to come up with a good solution for whatever problem is in front of us. So there you have it, all the strategies you need to keep yourself calm and anger-free. Good luck.